Blog Talk Radio.
Smooches and good evening. Thank God I'm Financially Free Friday. And tonight we're speaking of women. Speaking of women and financial freedom. And we're just putting it all in one sentence. There has been so many stories, her stories, this month, because Women's Month is a celebration of the obstacles that women have been able to overcome as a result of the feminism and the women's movement. Now, just this week, I've found that a lot of people have some views on what the women's movement was really about. And feminism seems to be just like saying the F word. So a lot of men cannot connect with women who are leaders and have, in their own right, been able to create their own power structures. And I think that tonight is a great way to open up the Smooches experience to all of our listeners out there, especially our women listeners, because we're learning. We're learning each and every day. You know, we have, you know, women figures like Oprah Winfrey, and we also have women figures like Michelle Obama. And if you go even beyond that, we have women figures like Ellen DeGeneres. And these are just people in the public eye. But just thinking about some of the people that work behind the scenes. Another good person out there that I like to mention are the people out there that are authors. The authors, the women like J.K. Rowling out there that are doing what they're supposed to do in order to leave a legacy, not just for their readers, but for their families. And it feels real good to be present in a time where women are really making some power moves out there. And I just want you, the listener, to begin to celebrate and to help us as the progression of the women's movement continues to impact everyone around the globe. And the young women need some better, some bigger, and some more sound role models out there so that they can become passionate about what they're doing. I mean, this proliferation of a generation of financially sound and business-minded young women that are full steam ahead is because a joint venture between the young and the old. We are bridging the gap diversity-wise when it comes to not gender this time, but when it comes to the ages. And so, you know, when you think about young women and where they're going, a lot of the time, what they're thinking about, they're thinking about finances, but they're not thinking about them in the way that they have been accustomed to with their, you know, with their generation. And that feels good because I think young women are really coming about in several different ways. There are so many different young women out there. Unfortunately, the only figures that we tend to see are the entertainment figures and the reality stars, and that's just not absolutely true. So if you're out there and you want to just come in on the live chat and speak to our listeners about what the young women out there are doing to develop their own businesses and how they're learning from the leaders, the women leaders that came before them, we would love to hear you speak. Right now, I'm going to take a small break. And I want you guys to listen to Will Smith as he talks about getting everything you need. Now, it is Women's Month, but, you know, I think that this was a really important interview with Will Smith. And, you know, his wife, Jada Pinkett Smith, is now on one of the most talked about shows on TV. But she has definitely developed a history of her own when it comes to being not just in the limelight, but just for moving towards the women's movement. And I'd like for you to just sit back and kind of listen to what Will Smith has to say. Smooches.
I think that there's a certain delusional quality that all successful people have to have. You have to believe that something different than what has happened for the last 50 yeah, million yeah, years right. of history, you have to believe that something different can happen.
Yeah, it's almost a kind of innocence.
Absolutely. You know,
in other words, if you knew how difficult it was,
right.
you would have never gone down that path.
Absolutely.
You know, if Ali, somebody said to Ali, no one can beat this guy. He's this much stronger, this much bigger. He's
right.
got that much bigger punch than you do.
Mm-hmm.
And he believed that, he would have said,
never,
you
got to
have an innocence that somehow.
Absolutely.
You know,
I think that's a huge part
of you.
Of me. Because, and I say to my friends all the time, and we laugh about it, I truly, honestly, as I sit here before you right now, as honestly as I can say it to you, I truly believe that I could be the president if I wanted to. And as bizarre as that may sound to people that have traveled the path before me and to people who actually know how difficult it is, foolish Will Smith honestly believed it.
Well, what there is about that is a sense of the innocence about it, as well as the disarming honesty about it. If you say it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's what's interesting about you is that there are people who have said that about you, too, who've been around you as a creative performer.
Absolutely.
Barry Sonnenfeld, I think it was,
yeah.
you know, did you work with him or he was involved in this somehow?
Yeah.
Said something like that, that if Will Smith decided he wanted to go into politics, I'd be there to help him by making commercials, whatever I could do within my own talent.
Yeah.
Which raises the interesting question, is that something that at some point in your life you might think about, politics?
Well, you know, I absolutely feel that there are certain gifts and certain talents that God has blessed me with, that it would be spiritually criminal to only use to make money. My travels in Africa and spending time with Muhammad Ali and spending time with Nelson Mandela, there are certainly issues that are important to me and things that I've been blessed with the vehicle to be able to change, to be able to, as sappy as it may sound, make the world a better place, however minute the change. And that's something that is important to me, but I don't believe that politics is the best use
of your energy and time right
absolutely.
Now. Yeah. But the interesting thing, too, is that there is this concept, and you see it with lots of different people. You know, even with people who are evil, some will say, he had so much talent. If that talent could have been redirected to
absolutely.
Something good. It is the idea, if you are given and you work hard, because there's nothing more apparent about Will Smith than how diligent and hard he works at being who you are. I mean, you appreciate the notion, it looks like to me, from what I know about you, of understanding that you have to be prepared
absolutely.
In order to maximize the possibilities
absolutely.
Of gifts.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Absolutely. And I believe, and I learned very young
from parents.
From my parents, absolutely.
Yeah.
That you don't try to build a wall. You don't set out to build a wall. You don't say, I'm going to build the biggest, baddest, greatest wall that's ever been built. You don't start there. You say, I'm going to lay this brick as perfectly as a brick can be laid. There will not be one brick on the face of the earth that's going to be laid better than this brick that I'm going to lay in this next 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And you do that every single day.
And soon you have a
and
wall.
And soon you have a wall.
Yeah.
And I think psychologically, the advantage that gives me over a lot of people that have been in competition with in different situations is it's difficult to take the first step when you look how big the task is. The task is never huge to me. It's always one brick.
Me too. I mean, it is amazing how people are paralyzed from doing anything.
Absolutely.
Because they can't take the first step.
Can't
whereas you just
step.
Say, look, all I'm doing is laying this one brick. I am not building the Great Wall of China
right.
here.
Absolutely.
I'm putting a brick here and I'm going to have the best brick I can.
Mm-hmm.
Your father,
mm-hmm.
I think I read.
Absolutely.
Had you and your brother work on a
wall
of paper?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're talking about our figurative wall. That comes from work on a literal wall.
Yeah, right.
My father owned, it actually was an old bakery. When I was growing up, my father was an electrician and a refrigeration man. We would install supermarkets. You see the long freezer cases in supermarkets. We would install those long freezer cases and all the lights. That's what we would do every summer.
Yeah.
So this one year, my father had his shop, and he decided for whatever reason that he wanted a new wall on the front of his shop. So he tore down probably about 16 feet high and probably about 30 feet long. He just completely tore the wall down, and my brother and I had to dig a 6-foot hole.
We for the foundation.
For the foundation. Right. We would mix in the concrete by hand.
Yeah.
A year and a half. We were building this wall for a year and a half. Every day after school, we would come and mix in concrete, putting it in the hole, doing it.
Yeah.
And it was just myself and my little brother. And I remember standing back, looking at that wall, saying, there's going to be a hole here forever. There will never be anything
never
but a hole here.
That's right.
And a year and a half later.
I don't have that many days.
I know. A year and a half later, we laid the final brick.
Yeah.
And my father stood back with my brother and I, and I know he planned this. He says he didn't, but I know he had been planning this and writing this for his for the past 2 years. But we stood back, we looked at the wall, and he looked at me and my brother and said, now, don't y'all never tell me that you can't do something. And walked into the shop.
That's great. Now, here's what's interesting. You said what? You said
smooches. Now, women, sometimes it's better just to listen to the messenger. And when I remember the very first time I listened very intently to this conversation, and I also have some reservations about introducing it to our listeners, especially tonight, because we're speaking of women and financial freedom. Thank God I'm Financially Free Fridays. And what I wanted to gain was a group of women listeners that could actually come and join a live chat. And there were so many different ways that we began to market this particular radio experience. And what I found was there were so many women that navigated and gravitated to us in the very beginning. And we also have some really great women that continue to support us. But as we connected, the women started to kind of move away to do their own thing. And that's perfectly well, because I believe that we're all very ambitious. But one of the things that Will Smith said is, you're not trying to build the wall of China. You're just trying to put something down. And that's what this radio venture is all about. We're trying to make sure that our voices and our information and our support get out to the world. That's what this radio venture gives us. This week, I was able to go to a nice workshop on self-healing and helping yourself, self-care. And one of the things that I shared with the group was that this radio venture is, that's what this does for me. Now, a lot of people are being very ambitious and very strict about what these radio blogs are doing, and that's all well and good, but I think that it just feels good to be able to give quality content, to be able to give sound information, and to continue to support our women. And on, you know, after Women's Month, we'll still be women. But each and every time this show opens up, there's a woman that is behind the scenes that is making sure that the right formatting, that the right clientele, that the right supporters are getting this information. And I urge you, if you're listening now tonight, if you're on the live chat and you're just listening in, I urge that you please share this particular experience with someone in your life, because I know that they're waiting for some of the information that we're ready to provide. So that was Will Smith, and I thought that was a really candid interview about some of the things that you're going to have to do in order to be great. You know, great women have been able to enlighten us throughout history. And one of the very first people that I had to think about was Jane Addams. And think about some of the things she did to be a humanitarian and a philanthropist. And I also think about Eleanor Roosevelt, how, you know, the things that she did to continue to leave a legacy as the first lady. And I think that with women, that race shouldn't get in the way of, you know, helping us achieve our goals and our dreams. And so when I think about that, I like to be well-rounded, especially when it comes to women. And so there are so many women out there, but I thought that there was one woman out there that I'd like to hear from, and her name was Amy Tan. And she talked a little bit about where does creativity hide. And it was at one of those TED conferences that, you know, you may hear about on the net. And I just got, you know, connected to the TED movement. But TED is about ideas, and I think they're worth spreading as well. But I want you to really listen in to Amy share some of the some of her experiences when it comes to creativity. Smooches.
Value is nothing. Out of nothing comes something. That was an essay that I wrote when I was 11 years old, and I got a B+. But I'm going to talk about nothing out of something and how we create. And I'm going to try and do that within the 18-minute time span that we were told to stay within and to follow the TED commandments. That is actually something that creates a near-death experience, but near-death is good for creativity. So I also want to explain, because Dave Eggers said he was going to heckle me if I said anything that was a lie or not true to the universe of creativity, and I've done it this way for half the audience who's scientific. When I say we, I don't mean you necessarily. I mean me and my right brain, my left brain, and the one that's in between that is the sensory tells me what I'm saying is wrong. And I'm going to do that also by looking at what I think is part of my creative process, which includes a number of things that happen. Actually, nothing started even earlier than the moment in which I'm creating something new. And that includes nature and nurture and what I refer to as nightmares. Now, in the nature area, we look at whether or not we are innately equipped with something, perhaps in our brain, some abnormal chromosome that causes this new-like effect. And some people would say that we're born with it in some other means, and others, like my mother, would say that I get my material from past lives. Some people would also say that creativity may be a function of some other neurological quirk, and the Van Gogh syndrome, that you have a little bit of, you know, psychosis or depression. I do have to say, somebody I read recently that Van Gogh wasn't really necessarily psychotic, but he might have had temporal lobe seizures, and that might have caused the spurt of creativity. And I don't. I suppose it does something in some part of your brain. And I will mention that I actually developed temporal lobe seizures a number of years ago, but it was during the time I was writing my last book. And some people say that book is quite different. I think that part of it also begins with a sense of identity crisis. You know, who am I? Why am I this particular person? Why am I not black like everybody else? And sometimes you're equipped with skills, but they may not be the kind of skills that enable creativity. I used to draw. I thought I would be an artist, and I had a miniature poodle. And it wasn't bad, but it wasn't really creative, because all I could really do was represent in a very one-on-one way. And I have a sense that I probably copied this from a book. And then I also wasn't really shining in a certain area that I wanted to be. And you know, you look at those scores, and it wasn't bad, but it was not certainly predictive that I would one day make my living out of the artful arrangement of words. Also, one of the principles of creativity is to have a little childhood trauma. And I had the usual kind that I think a lot of people had, and that is that, you know, I had expectations placed on me. That figure right there, by the way, figure right there was a toy given to me when I was about 9 years old, and it was to help me become a doctor from a very early age. I have some ones that were long-lasting from the age of 5 to 15. This was supposed to be my side occupation, and it led to a sense of failure. But actually, there was something quite real in my life that happened when I was about 14, and it was discovered that my brother in 1967 and then my father 6 months later had brain tumors. And my mother believed that something had gone wrong and she was going to find out what it was and she was going to fix it. My father was a Baptist minister and he believed in miracles and that God's will would take care of that. But of course, they ended up dying 6 months apart. And after that, my mother believed that it was fate or curses. She went looking through all the reasons in the universe why this would have happened. Everything except randomness. She did not believe in randomness. There was a reason for everything. And one of the reasons she thought was that her mother, who died when she was very young, was angry at her. And so I have this notion of death all around me because my mother also believed that I would be next and she would be next. And when you are faced with the prospect of death very soon, you begin to think very much about everything and become very creative in a survival sense. And this then led to my big questions, and they're the same ones that I have today. And they are, why do things happen? How do things happen? And the one my mother asked, how do I make things happen? It's a wonderful way to look at these questions when you write a story, because after all, in that framework between page one and 300, you have to answer this question of why things happen, how things happen, in what order they happen, what are the influences, how do I, as the narrator, as the writer, also influence that? And it's also one that I think many of our scientists have been asking. It's a kind of cosmology. I have to develop a cosmology of my own universe as the creator of that universe. And you see there are a lot of there's a lot of back and forth in trying to make that happen, trying to figure it out, years and years oftentimes. So when I look at creativity, I also think that it is this sense or this inability to repress my looking at associations in practically anything in life, and I got a lot of them during what's been going on throughout this conference, almost everything that's been going on. And so I'm going to use as the metaphor this association quantum mechanics, which I really don't understand, but I'm still going to use it as the process for explaining how it is the metaphor.
Smooches, to anyone out there that's still listening and to our listeners that will download this at a later time, you can always go to our Smooches Radio Facebook page. We are going to be posting that TED Talk by Amy Tan on creativity. And I know that in the beginning it sounds like it's very, you know, it's very strict and it's structured and everything else. But, you know, you take a look at the video and you may make another decision for yourself. But this is just a lot of great information. And one of the things that we want to lead you to tonight is that the TED videos are, you know, now totally downloadable at learnoutloud.com. Again, you can go to learnoutloud.com, and they have educational and professional videos free now. And so when it comes to women and their dreams, and some women say, you know, I don't have time. You know, I'm not very social. I'm antisocial. My family comes first, but I have a lot of dreams and visions. I want you to begin to make some time for some of these TED videos. They're not only just informative, but they are just full of ideas to help you when you want to step a level up. And I think that just getting to that point in your life, knowing that no matter what age you are, no matter what ethnicity, no matter, you know, what your educational level, that there is still a part of you that can still create. And it's very simple. Now, Amy Tan uses the quantum mechanics model, but the creativity model that she actually uses is very simple. But there are so many other people that you can soak up some of the resources. And that's why we wanted to come on tonight, because we wanted to talk about women and financial freedom, because it sounds a lot of times like people really don't believe that women can stand alone, and women are seeking and staying in relationships that they don't want to be in are not necessarily fulfilling because they just don't think they can make it on their own. But I can say that I'm a living example of a woman who has definitely been able to navigate all of the obstacles behind me. And I'm able to bring you some of this women's history today. I'd like to begin to learn from my women leaders. How about you? I'd like to know that there are other women leaders out there, you know, besides the ones that we hear about all the time. I'd like to be a story that you guys begin to navigate to because you know that there is a plethora of information that is oozing out of my existence into you because there's an essence of woman that's going to be able to permeate the current circumstances. This is us leading our generation, and I want you to continue tuning in because next Friday we are going to continue speaking of women and financial freedom, and I want you to make sure that you join live chat and bring a friend because this is the number one independent woman-owned radio venture, smooching love, hugs, and kisses all around the globe, and we will be back next week. Now, while you're waiting for the other blogs to do something new, Smooches Radio is always about you. Smooches, good night.